A special commission representing Canada and the United States released a report this morning on efforts to restore and protect the Great Lakes. The group called the International Joint Commission has been around for over a century and is tasked with preventing conflicts between the two countries over shared waters.
As you can imagine, the Great Lakes swallows up a lot of the commission's attention, and the new report looks at progress made over the last 3 years on issues facing the basin, and it offers recommendations on further action. Lake Effect Susan Bent spoke with the commission's chair, Lana Pollock, on the eve of the report's release. Pollock says there are numerous challenges facing the Great Lakes, but there is a lot of progress to report as well.
We give credit to the governments for really making great progress on what we call the AOCs, the areas of concern, historically contaminated areas. But even when you're praising them for the investment and the progress that's been achieved within the last 3 years, you see how hard it is and how expensive it is and how slow it is. So prevention is clearly what you need.
So when you were in Milwaukee and other commissioners were in Milwaukee in October of 2016, some of the discussion, input from both scientists and the public, that's very much what this document is about, is it not? Blending the latest in science with the concern of the public, of the people who share the Great Lakes.
Absolutely. We start with the science, and we listen carefully to the public. And we had a number of active outreach sessions.
In Milwaukee, there was discussion about the need to invest in green infrastructure. There was discussion of the impacts of agriculture on the water quality of the Great Lakes. How much did that figure into the final product?
Both of those are among the important points that are lead recommendations. They're not the only ones. But I would say infrastructure overall, green infrastructure is certainly a subset of that. But we looked at the increasing intensity of storms and stormwater runoff and the impact that has in many cities that don't have the infrastructure to handle that kind of runoff, and a lot of sewage, massive amounts of sewage, untreated raw sewage or partially treated sewage gets dumped into each of the Great Lakes. So that's very high on the list, the infrastructure. The acknowledgement that the governments have not been keeping up with the infrastructure investments. If you look back in the 70s, the federal governments in both countries took on the responsibility of improved infrastructure. And in more recent years, that has been pushed down into the local governments. And the local governments don't have the kind of resources to do that. Or if they do, then the cost to the public on their bills, their utility bills, can be beyond reach of many people. So there's no way other than the infrastructure investment being heavily subsidized or really just supported by the two federal governments. Green infrastructure is a part of that, no doubt, but sometimes it's just pipes and treatment.
What do you find in the science that you've learned through the course of all of this? Where do you see the greatest promise?
There's better understanding of the impact of farming practices and the negative outcomes on the lakes in terms of the algal blooms. We know pretty much what the problem is. We need to have better monitoring on a field-by-field scale, but the science is increasingly well understood. The challenge is to whether there's the political will to do it. And the same with any of the other kind of contaminants or pollution. So the algal blooms coming from primarily from the fertilizer and manure runoff is one. But, of course, just the need to have better infrastructure to treat sewage is another. And then there's the other kind of pollutants that we haven't talked about yet, but the report certainly does. The acronym in the report is the CMCs. That's the kind of long-named chemicals of various types.
Right.
This is not a technical term, but generally speaking, I've heard them called ethyl methyl bad stuff. It's the chemicals that come from flame retardants. It's the chemicals that come and have come from associations with electrical and other products that have chemical contaminants that end up in our waters. And in that case, the report turns to what we call extended producer responsibility. We call for policies at all of levels of government that have EPR, extended producer responsibility, which turns the responsibility for the contaminant back to the producer of the product. So one example that people are familiar with is take-back programs for cartridges or take-back programs on tires. But in this case, it needs to be much more expanded so that there's a clear sense of liability or responsibility for the producers of these products, who then are encouraged by virtue of that economic incentive to find alternative products that may not have the kind of negative health impacts, the carcinogens and the xenoestrogens, the other chemicals that we know are cause harm to human health, animal health, and the ecosystem. And it's entirely possible to incentivize the avoidance of these contaminants that end up in our lakes, in our waters, our drinking water, our beaches, in our fish, which we haven't talked about.
Right. So, Lana, you live and breathe these issues of the Great Lakes
that
Canada and the U.S. share. Was there science behind some of this that particularly disturbs, that worries you? Top of your list, we must address this specific issue. Or is it so interconnected that you've got
it? You know, Susan, that's a wonderful question, and it prompts this response. It's really pretty simple. It's as simple as that is building an infrastructure so after so many years, we stop literally dumping raw sewage into our waters, or we stop the practices that cause the manure to run into our waters. That's not rocket science. The science is important. We really, we fully support the need for science, and we ourselves support some science, and we use a great deal more that has come out of universities and other institutions. But at the heart of it is something much simpler. Stop putting this stuff in our water. We know where it's coming from, we know what it does, and we know how to stop it. And that's a problem of policy and political will.
So would the hope of the commission be that this document will create public demand for those changes?
Yes, very much so. And we saw that, again, in the 70s, going into the 80s. The old days when they said Lake Erie was dead. It wasn't really dead, but it was certainly sick. And there was a great public demand for more respect for the lakes. Policies drove change, and that change, those policies drove cleaner, healthier lakes. And then we began to backslide again, in part because the conditions changed. Climate change, warmer water makes these things that much more difficult. The zebra mussels, the invasive species, which we do address in this report, that complicated things, and the different farming practices in terms of the algal blooms. And then new chemicals were invented that weren't safe for humans, but yet they were produced, and they went into products. They went into children's pajamas and the sofas and the couches and so many other products that we're in contact with, and the plastics, and these are things that people actually understand. You don't need a PhD in bioscience to know that it's wrong to have an infrastructure that's too small to handle the sewage, or that it's wrong to allow and not penalize farmers who spread manure on frozen ground. The voluntary programs don't work. We have plenty of evidence of that. And once again, this stuff is pretty apparent to the public. And I think the gap is between the public and the elected officials. I've been one. I'm, as I describe myself, a recovering politician, a former legislator. It's the legislators at all levels, and certainly the federal levels, that are not investing enough to protect the lakes. And they're not holding accountable the individuals and industries who are responsible for considerable degradation of the lakes.
Lana Pollack chairs the International Joint Commission. You'll find a link to its Great Lakes Triennial Assessment of Progress report at WUWM.com. She spoke with WUWM environmental reporter Susan Bentz.